Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. Ana Mateo and Jonathan Evans will tell us about work by a research group that has found that most victims of terrorists are in countries with Muslim majorities. I'll tell you how some American workers are dealing with the possibility that they may lose their jobs to robots. Ashley Thompson will report on a young man who is spending this year, the 100th anniversary of the U.S. National Park Service, traveling to each of the more than 400 National Park Service sites. And in our weekly Science in the News report, Ann Ball will tell us about a new drug that may help people with Alzheimer's disease. So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today, so let's get started.
Muslim militants tried to create areas governed by Islamic law long before the Islamic State group began its campaign in the Middle East. Some groups supported attacks on governments that they did not believe were enforcing Islamic law. Others believed they should work to weaken Western countries, especially the United States. In the 1990s, the terrorist group Al-Qaeda won the debate. It supported attacks on the United States, including those that took place on September 11, 2001. But Al-Qaeda's power has lessened in recent years. Terror groups have formed that are working to weaken government in the Middle East, South Asia, and North Africa. These groups include the Islamic State, which has supported attacks on neighboring countries, including those led by Muslims. The result is that most of the victims of terrorist attacks by Muslims over the past 15 years have been other Muslims. Recently, a 14-year-old Islamic State suicide bomber attacked a Kurdish wedding in southeastern Turkey. More than 50 people were killed. Richard Bullitt is a retired professor of history at Columbia University. He says most non-Muslims should not be worried about terrorism. I understand why the media cover terrorism in the West so closely, and I understand why people who follow these events become so frightened. But objectively speaking, the threat of terrorism is not very great. Between 2001 and 2015, there were 167,221 victims of terrorism. About 98% of them took place outside the United States and Western Europe, according to the University of Maryland Global Terrorism Database. The database is supported by the United States government. It is the largest public collection of information about terrorist attacks in the world. The database does not record the religious belief of victims. However, it has gathered information about attacks in 25 Muslim-majority countries from Iraq to Malaysia. The information shows that 75% of all deaths from terrorist attacks from 2001 to 2015 took place in those countries. During that time, there were 3,689 deaths in the United States and Western Europe from terrorist attacks. This includes 2,977 from the September 11, 2001 attacks. That is 2.2% of all terrorism-related deaths during that time. Not all victims of terrorism in Muslim-majority countries are Muslims. Victims have included Christians, Yazidis, and other minorities. There also have been many non-Christians among the victims of terrorist attacks in the United States and Western Europe. Michael Jensen is the data collection manager for the Global Terrorism Database. He says it is safe to assume that the majority of victims of terrorist attacks in Muslim countries are Muslims.
Information in the database shows some countries have many victims, while others have very few. More than 50,000 have been killed in Iraq, but only 6 people have been killed in Malaysia in terrorist attacks in the past 15 years. The reason for many of the attacks is not clear. Jensen says, the large number of victims in Muslim countries compared to those in non-Muslim countries suggest that the reason is not limited to religion. It has to be something else, he says. Researchers at the Institute for Economics and Peace have looked for patterns in the Global Terrorism Database. They have found 2 things common to countries where there is terrorism. Their research shows that 92% of all terrorist attacks in the past 25 years have taken place in countries with state-sponsored political violence, and 88% of attacks have taken place in places where violent conflicts are happening. In most Muslim-majority countries with a high level of terrorist activity, one or both of these problems are present. Iraq may be the strongest example of a country with a long history of state-sponsored violence and political conflict. Since the 1990s, terrorists have sought to oust governments in the Middle East, South Asia, and North Africa. Jensen said that in Muslim-majority countries, militants often attack citizens and property, security forces, and government and diplomatic officials and institutions. I think in a majority of cases where Muslims are victims of terrorism, they're largely targeted not because they're Muslim, but because they're police officers or soldiers or happen to be in a public place, Jensen said. He said disputes between Sunni and Shiite Muslims is a major source of conflict. About 10% of the 1.7 billion Muslims in the world are Shia. Professor Bullitt says Shia are being attacked by Sunni extremists from Iraq to Pakistan because they are considered a heretical minority. Bullitt says the conflict is part of a struggle for power in majority Sunni societies. He says those societies have still not decided what power will be held by political and religious officials. He adds that it is still not clear in those societies what the relationship is between religion and the modern world. He says these questions have been unanswered for many years.
Driverless vehicles could threaten the jobs of millions of Americans who drive trucks and taxis. Some experts believe driverless trucks will be deployed throughout the United States soon. Others believe it will not happen for years. In Australia and other countries, driverless trucks move large loads of dirt and ore in mines. The trucks can operate in the mines because there are few other vehicles there. But it will be more difficult for vehicles to operate on roads where there are many other vehicles. Ted Scott is the head of engineering at the American Trucking Association. He says it will be years before rules are written, testing is completed, and other drivers accept driverless vehicles. The carmaker Volvo and the ride-sharing company Uber have announced a plan to test self-driving cars in the eastern city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Ford Motor Company recently announced it would work with a Chinese company to research self-driving vehicle technology. Carmaker Audi and other companies are testing robot drivers in more complex environments. These include mountain roads in the United States and in large American cities. Chan Liu is a former official at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. He says these tests may help speed up the deployment of driverless vehicles. Liu says self-driving vehicles may help save lives. He says 94% of vehicle crashes are caused by human mistakes. These include driving while tired, writing on a digital device, or after drinking too much alcohol. Tim Carone is a professor at Notre Dame University. He says tens of thousands of lives could be saved if self-driving vehicles are deployed. Rogelio Rada has been driving a truck for 16 years. He believes it will be a long time before robots take his job. Barry Waters is also a truck driver. He believes robots will not be driving trucks for 20 or 30 years. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says more than 1.7 million people worked in the trucking industry in 2014. Many people are concerned about the effect of driverless cars on employment because manufacturing in the United States has been decreasing for years. The car manufacturing industry is no exception. American car makers sold a record number of vehicles in 2015, but had far fewer workers than ever. Car makers now use robots to weld, paint, and perform other tasks, often better than humans. That is bad news for millions of workers like Holly Stover. She worked in steel mills for many years.
I hope to end up working a decent job, making a decent living.
Stover is working with an employment counselor to explore new kinds of work. She is also considering going back to school to learn new skills. Anthony Carnevale is a workforce expert at Georgetown University. He says an increase in industrial robots means fewer humans will have high-paying manufacturing jobs.
Probably 75% of the job loss is technology-based, just to say robots, machines in general, are substituting for people.
Chris Liu is the Deputy Secretary at the United States Department of Labor. He says the changing economy is creating new opportunities for workers if they have the skills. Some employers in the United States complain that they cannot find enough workers who have the ability to operate advanced machines or program computers.
We've also in this country had a remarkable transition to a service economy. And really wonderful high-paying jobs in IT, for instance. Those are industries that didn't exist 20 or 30 years ago.
Greg Petoniak is the head of the Southeast Michigan Community Alliance. He says his organization closely records the skills employers need and helps displaced workers meet those demands. Many job seekers look at it as, I can't afford to go to school for a couple of years and not have an income, he says. He explains that employers are seeking workers they can train for high-paying jobs like electrician, plumber, carpenter, millwright, and pipe fitter. Petoniak says the American education system does not do enough to prepare some students for technical jobs. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
The year 2016 is the 100th anniversary of the U.S. National Park Service. Adventurer and traveler Micah Meyer is celebrating in a big way. He is traveling all across America. He plans to visit each of the more than 400 National Park Service sites. Meyer is 30 years old. If he reaches his goal, he will become the youngest person to visit all of the sites within the National Park Service. He will also be the only person to ever do so in one trip. He started his journey in Washington, D.C. in June. Since then, he has visited more than 30 sites. The Voice of America has been following Meyer on the road. His photos and blog provide audiences with a virtual view of some of the most beautiful places within the park system. Meyer recently traveled around the northern U.S. states. During his travels, he visited two Park Service sites that Native Americans considered sacred. The Pipestone National Monument is in southwestern Minnesota. It was created in recognition of the red pipestone found in the area. The special stone is the main reason the place has been sacred to Native Americans for several hundred years. They used the stone to make pipes for prayer services. During his visit, Meyer said he watched a park staff member making pipes at the park's gift shop. The staff let Meyer use some tools to work with the stone himself. It was fun to be able to use it with your own hands, Meyer said. Another place that holds special meaning for Native Americans is a national monument in the state of Iowa. It is connected with the culture known today as the Effigy Mound Builders. Here in Iowa, there are more than 200 small hills or mounds of earth. They are in the shapes of birds, bears, deer, bison, turtles, and panthers. They sit in one of the most scenic parts of the upper Mississippi River Valley. They are part of the Effigy Mounds National Monument. The exact purpose of the mounds remains unclear. But Native Americans say ancestral stories describe the mounds as ceremonial and sacred sites. Archaeologists believe the effigy mounds may have marked hunting and gathering territories. Meyer said he was happy to spend the week of the National Park Service's official 100th birthday in places that don't always get attention as other places within the park system. I'm Ashley Thompson.
A surprising discovery has been made in the treatment of Alzheimer's, the brain disease that causes memory loss and other problems. A drug used to treat women's menstrual pain made memory problems disappear in laboratory animals with Alzheimer's disease. The researchers gave the medicine mefenamic acid to mice with Alzheimer's disease. The scientists say treatment reversed the animals' memory loss problems. Alzheimer's is a progressive disease. It worsens over time. It affects many parts of people's lives, including the ability to remember, think, and make decisions. The findings were published in the journal Nature Communications. David Brough of Britain's University of Manchester led the research. The scientists did experiments with mice that were engineered to develop Alzheimer's symptoms. Like humans who get the disease, the laboratory mice developed memory problems over time. 10 of the Alzheimer's mice were treated with mefenamic acid for 1 month. The drug was contained in very small pump devices placed under their skin. 10 other mice, also with memory problems, had devices placed under their skin too, but theirs did not contain medicine. Then the animals were placed in a maze, a complex group of connected paths. They had to learn how to move around the maze without problems. Mike Daniels was a researcher on the study. In a Skype interview, he said the mice who received the drug learned the maze easily. That was not true for the mice who did not get the medicine.
We try to train the mice once they have Alzheimer's disease, and the Alzheimer's mice are untrainable. They cannot learn that maze.
The researchers were excited by the results with the drug-treated mice.
What was just amazing is that this drug seemed to seem to render the mice completely normal. It's something that we haven't really seen before, but there needs to be a lot more work done to really confirm whether this is real.
Daniels says brain imaging shows a lot of harmful inflammation in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. Inflammation is a condition in which parts of your body swells, warms, and often hurts. Researchers believe mefenamic acid reduces that brain inflammation. But other drugs, like ibuprofen, which are also used to stop inflammation, did not help. Jack Rivers Auttie is the study's co-author. He says it is difficult to say whether mefenamic acid would work at all stages or levels of Alzheimer's. The stages change from mild thinking and memory problems to the inability to communicate in any way. He says if researchers move forward with human testing, we would definitely want to put it into people at the early stages of the disease. That way, researchers could try to slow the progress or even stop the progress of the disease. The researchers say the drug is already approved by the U.S. government and is known to be safe. So, after more testing, mefenamic acid may be available quickly to treat Alzheimer's patients. In another recent study, researchers testing a drug on humans found it slowed the progress of Alzheimer's disease. People were given aducanumab, a drug that fights substances that build up in the brain of Alzheimer's patients. The substances are called amyloids. They are sticky proteins that group together in the brain. Together, they form what are called amyloid plaques and are thought to be a cause of Alzheimer's. The researchers reported that in the brains of those given the treatment, there was an almost complete clearance of the amyloid plaques, according to the AFP news agency. But researchers said that while the results are exciting, it is too early to know if this is an effective treatment for the disease. More tests are planned. The study results were published in the journal Nature. Alzheimer's is the most common form of a group of brain diseases causing memory loss that are collectively called dementia. The World Health Organization says more than 47 million people worldwide are affected by dementia. Nearly 8 million new cases are diagnosed each year. I'm Ann Ball.
That's our program for today. We'd like to hear what you think of it. You can send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. Or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Please know that however you reach us, we do read every message you send. While you are visiting our website, you can also read and listen to longer versions of the stories that you have just heard on this program. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice of America.